Check, check, check. We're starting the record. Now I think I'm too loud. This is how we start every...
Do you want to...
I do the sound check after I press record.
Put the headphones on.
Oh my God. All right.
Hold on. You can't just guess based on the little bars on the fucking thing, bro. That's insane.
I can guess.
You can guess. You can't guess. Guessing's crazy.
You sound great.
I haven't said anything.
I heard you said something's crazy and then
yeah.
Check, check, check.
Check, check, check.
Yeah, maybe I'm a bit loud. I think it sounds good.
Yeah.
What do you guys think listening?
Well, is this part of it?
Yeah, this is part of it.
Oh, fuck's sake.
We don't edit.
No edit.
No edit.
You got to hold your own mic. I got to tell you to plug the headphones in.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we don't have a studio here.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was just telling you that if I open your bathroom door,
it
bangs straight into the toilet.
Yeah. It's so punk rock, baby.
It's not... Well, okay. My apartment in the West with my journalist girlfriend is not punk rock.
Like it's
cross
true.
My French bulldog cross Labradoodle.
Golden Retriever.
Nothing about this house is punk rock, dude. Can we spin this camera around?
That's punk rock. That's a poster from one of my earliest tours over there. Miles Away, Defeater and Fires of Waco, baby.
I can't see it because the Art Deco lamp's in the way, bro, which is not punk rock.
That's a Kmart lamp. But
yeah, fucking prove it. I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't know. Also, is Art Deco... Anyway, whatever. Hi.
Hey, you don't have to run the podcast. You don't have to host it. It's okay.
I feel like someone has to.
Jack Wright is here with me. Jack, how are you feeling?
Fine, thank you.
You had two coffees.
I've had four coffees.
You had four coffees.
I've had two since you saw me.
You've had three showers this morning.
One shower, four coffees, a little ham cheese, toasty.
It's so cool.
I went for a little walk and I'm eyeing off this donut.
You can eat the donut. No one's going to care. Just like maybe hold the mic away when you chew. Take little tiny bites.
I'm building
so
up.
I can ask
I'm building
questions.
It looks very sugary. I'm building
yeah.
up.
That is my favorite story. Oh, sorry. So for the listeners, you're a stand-up comedian.
Listeners.
Hey! Fuck you!
For the listener.
For the listener.
Cool.
You're a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you do anything else?
No,
you do. You help me run Rat Club Industries, Comedy Performance Night. You're my co-producer.
I'm there. Yeah. I'm there. I help you out. Yeah.
You run the sound.
I run the sound.
Yeah.
I have a megaphone.
You do? Yeah, we recently got you a megaphone.
$28 Kmart megaphone.
Hey, it was $44 and it was from J-Car. Oof. Thank you very much.
Ripped off, man. Ripped off. I'll get you one on Kogan, $15, bro. It'll be here in 8 months. You got to check out Kogan, bro.
Get on the Kogans.
Kogan sucks.
Shit, I spilled coffee all over me.
Anyway.
I feel like Andrew Hastings came and did this podcast, our mutual friend. Mm. And at one point, he went to take a sip of water and just poured it down his front while we were recording.
Okay. A, I believe that. And B, I'm very offended that he got booked before me. But that's fine.
He asked.
Yeah. No. He asked.
He was like, I really got to promote. Yeah. Hey, you know that that little festival you guys are doing together called Adelaide Fringe?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I should do some stuff to promote my show down there.
Oh, yeah, this will help. This is what we need.
Matthew Holding is going to come see you guys perform.
Who's that?
He's my friend in Adelaide.
Oh, is he?
Listens to the pod, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks. What's his name?
Matt.
Okay, well, I've sold zero tickets, so I don't know if you want to tell Matt about...
Out of you and... If you could... Oh, God.
Me.
Hastings is going to hear this, and he's going to be really angry at me. Mm. I love all my children equally.
Mm.
I can't say who I would choose to go see if I could only go see one.
Just out of us two.
Yeah.
Well, there's four in the Airbnb, so I feel like the four of us should be. I could recommend Laura Coleman's show. She's very funny. Jackson Stewart has a great concept.
Jackson Stewart's concept is extremely funny.
I think it's incredible, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
You are maybe the best
joke
writer I know personally.
Oh, that's cute. That's not true.
Well, there's a difference, because like if I said you're the best comedian, blah, 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 I'm blowing smoke up your ass.
I don't like that at all. But
I love your jokes.
Thank you, Ryan.
I love your jokes.
You remember meeting Luke Heggie 20 or 30 times, right? You remember that guy? I don't want to talk about this. I came here to bag out on some stupid music.
All right.
I don't want to ever, you know.
But go see Jackie's show in Adelaide. It's going to be really, really good.
What's it called, Ryan?
It's called She's Like the Wind.
Well done. It is called She's Like the Wind.
It's after the
Richmond Hotel.
At the Richmond Hotel.
From the 20th to the 20-something.
I can bring up the poster idea for you if you need.
Thank you for that. Yeah, come and see my show or whatever.
Yeah, you're doing 1 week in Adelaide.
Normally the plugs go at the end.
I like to do them up top.
Up top plugs?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give people a chance to
otherwise
turn off.
Otherwise we
forget. Yeah.
No, they want to hear about
okay
you and who you are as a human being.
I thought they wanted to hear about my opinions on
Earth crisis. Well, before we get into it, because Earth crisis, we're talking Earth crisis today. They are the... Okay, so if there were three phases to straight edge subculture in hardcore...
Are there three phases?
I reckon... I would say three phases. I think you had to choose three bands to represent each phase. I would say, obviously, Minor Threat, who started it.
Obviously, Minor Threat.
Then probably a band like Youth of Today, who carried it and kind of made it more of a brand.
Sonic Youth of Today.
No, And then Earth Crisis, who solidified it as in this kind of like, almost like an arrogant kind of like, you're with us or you're against us kind of way. And that's kind of carried through. And I don't think there has been another.
And these are well-known bands in your opinion.
Pretty well-known bands, yeah, in the culture.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well,
I would say Minor Threat are well-known in terms of rock music in general.
Okay, you're the expert.
Listen, tell me, dude. Hey, episode 3 with Sam Bowden. Get on it. Minor Threat, Out of Step.
Okay,
have a listen.
Minor Threat, Out of Step.
But yeah, big straight edge band, and I love that you're the person to talk about this record with me because one of my favorite Jack Wright stories is New Year's Eve, 2022, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
We're at B. Barbo Skirla's house for a new...
Shout out.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was the 3-shower New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's not many showers for me, to be honest. I went to Alex White's wedding, had 4 showers.
Yeah?
Yeah, 4 showers at Alex White's wedding. And also, how do you define a shower? You know?
You're trying to cool off because you took too many drugs, right?
Well, that's why. That's the reason for the showers. Mm-hmm. But like, is a shower like taking off all your clothes and stepping into the shower?
I would say so, yeah. That's what I thought you did at B's.
I did. But also, I did that like twice. But also, if I just go in there and like lean my head in and
That's not a shower.
That's not a shower.
That's acceptable.
Well
honestly, I respect you as a human being. And I think the 3 showers are also acceptable.
Yeah. Well, if you're counting like rinsing off, wearing clothes,
that's fine.
Keeping your feet out, then I have like 12 showers every party. But if you're taking like full, go into a friend's house, just lock the bathroom without asking, crucially, and then just take off all my clothes
and have an actual shower.
And then
come out sopping wet.
Well, no, because I use up their towels are sopping wet. That's what, no one's ever annoyed about the shower. They're annoyed about their towels.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're so.
No one
cares about the shower.
Occurrence.
It's like, it's not, yeah, it's pretty regular.
It's not irregular.
I'm a sweaty guy and I like doing caps.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
anyway, yeah, so yeah, if we can't, okay. So yeah, 3 showers then, at least. 4 showers.
Everyone was astonished. You say it's
astonished.
Not, yeah, you say it's not weird for you, but like.
Not weird for me. No, it's weird for the people whose
but
house
every,
I do
everyone
it
at that party, and there were a lot of people at that party were like, did you just have a shower? Like one shower would be weird, and you had 3.
Well, I had well, clothes off, sure.
Yeah.
But then rinsing down is like,
more.
9 to 12.
About 9 to 12.
9 to 12.
And then at one point, I think after the before the countdown, I think around 11 p.m.
Oh,
you're like, hey.
Oh, I left at 11:45.
You called everyone around.
Did I?
Yeah, yeah. You're like holding court. You're like, hey, I'm going to go for a walk. Mm. I might come back.
Right.
But I might not.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then you left and we didn't see you till the next year.
The next year.
And you literally left at like 20 to 12 or something like that.
I think it was like 11:45.
I love it. You're an enigma.
And I don't know. Just too many, you know. Well, I'd used up all the towels.
Yeah.
Crucially. So I had to change.
A shower.
I had to change location.
You had to go to Dave Henning's house and have a shower.
Yeah, I leapfrogged my way home. Yeah. You're like, Dave Henning, can I have a shower? Dave Woodhead, can I have a shower? Yeah. Hastings, can I have a shower? They all said no. And they wouldn't let me in. Don't open with shower. And never open with shower. Never open with shower. Just say, hi, I've brought a donut.
I brought a donut.
I brought this donut. Ryan got it for me.
Although this is set dressing now for the clips.
Well, like. That's why I'm not eating it. So I can barter it for future showers.
You're more than welcome to have a shower if you want. It's very humid today.
It is. Well, nah.
Nah?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see how we get.
I know you're not on the caps
depends
yet.
How, but depends like. How sweaty I get talking about Earth Crisis.
Yeah. So today, obviously, if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is Dead Ramones Podcast. Each episode, we look at a year and an iconic album from that year. From the history of hardcore punk music. Yeah. Every time I say it, you laugh. You're the perfect guest,
it's
honestly.
It's the specificity
of it,
all
yeah.
these little genres.
Yeah.
What did you say they were? That you said they were tough boy.
Tough guy. They really established like a tough guy.
Tough guy vegan.
Machismo in terms of like, yeah, being... In terms of like metallic hardcore as a musical genre... but also, yeah, vegan straight edge as a subculture.
Vegan straight edge, tough boy, hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough guy. Yeah. There's so many oxymorons in this.
What do you think is the oxymoron?
Well,
guy vegan.
How tough can you be with an iron deficiency? You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And also, why are they straight edge? I always found the whole why do they want to be tough and not do drugs? Like, what's the thinking behind
it? I think it's just like I said, it's like that you're with us or against us thing. It's like we're taking a stand
about what
society, man. Just literally, yeah. That's the cliche.
Society, man.
That's the joke that everyone makes. It's like, these guys are like, society is so based on like all the poisons we ingest and like...
Right.
Yeah. And,
oh, okay.
You know, alcohol is like you know, it's just a drug sanctioned by the government, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Smoking, all that sort of shit.
Okay.
And so they were angry about it. It's angry music. Angry kids. Okay. Angry young men. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I find it quite strange because the album that we're talking about today is called Destroy the Machines.
Destroy the Machines by Earth Crisis.
And all of the music, I can't help but notice, features amps pretty heavily, which feels... It's so dumb. This whole thing, they sucked. Can I say that? This album was awful.
They were really, really young. Actually, no, they weren't that young. This is their debut album. It came out 6 years after they formed the band.
Right.
So they formed band in 89.
Got it.
Just a bunch of skater kids.
Okay.
Lineup changes. 91 was their first EP.
Okay.
Or 92, 3 years.
Cool.
And then they released a second EP, which is the Firestorm EP. Firestorm is like the...
They did Firestorm? The Firestorm?
Yeah.
What? Like what?
It's the straight edge anthem.
Oh my God.
It is the straight edge anthem. Firestorm.
Why are straight edge people so mad all the time, you know? Why are they angry?
These guys are the epitome of that. Yeah.
Okay.
These guys established that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll find out.
Okay.
It's because of these guys. Yeah. That's why everyone's so angry. Okay.
Do you want to finish their discography?
I'll give you
the whole discography.
They formed Syracuse, New York. Like I said, Destroy the Machines, first full length. This is the best selling record in the Victory Records catalog.
What other?
Victory were pretty big.
Okay.
Yeah, in terms of punk music, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as punk music goes, they were like up there with.
What? Who else is on Victory? Who's signed to Victory?
I'm pretty sure Terror released albums on Victory.
Sick.
They're another big touring band.
Yep. Yeah. Anyone else?
I can tell you. Do you want me to tell you?
Not really. This is a band you haven't heard of, and they were the biggest selling. They have the biggest selling album on a label you haven't heard of, which also features several other bands I haven't.
Let's have a look. Okay, Victory Records. Where are we? Fucking hell. I need the Wikipedia. let's just put it in. Hey,
it's.
But I'm pretty sure Terror were on Victory Records. But this is the 90s, and like the last couple of episodes we've done is about like how these bands that were part of the underground kind of broke out into the mainstream, like MTV had Headbangers Ball, all this sort of stuff.
Cool.
So they've released bigger, like they released Taking Back Sunday. Surely your friends at Jamie Kirk, you've heard of Taking Back Sunday?
I have.
There you go. See, this is what I'm talking about.
I've totally heard it.
Silverstein, like Hawthorne Heights Thursday, Day to Remember, they were a big band.
They've got the same, Victory Records has the same logo as the Canterbury Bulldogs. Yeah,
little bulldog.
With the same colours.
Blue and grey, yeah.
Blue and white. That's cute. Taking Back Sunday, I've heard of that band. I don't think I know any songs by them, but I have heard of that band.
Yeah, but big bands. That's kind of what I was going. And even with Taking Back Sunday, Earth Crisis, biggest selling record on Victory Records.
The one I listened to the other day.
The one you
on Spotify,
listened to. Yep.
That one.
Yep.
Has outsold the band that I've heard of.
That's right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the first reference I've understood.
There you go.
It's
all about giving you context.
29 minutes
We're in. 14 minutes in. So basically everyone calls it like, this is the landmark release for metalcore, metallic hardcore. This is like kind of where it started. Okay. So hardcore is just going in this way where as it gets bigger and bigger and there's more people involved in the movement, more musical styles come into it. And because it's already angry, aggressive music, obviously some of the people getting into it are going to be also into metal. So metal just started leaching its way into hardcore slowly. And this band kind of established that as its own thing
Right.
Within the wider genre of hardcore. So they kind of established metalcore with this record.
So it's all their fault.
All their fault,
it's
baby.
All their fault.
Every quote, I'm doing my research, I'm finding little quotes and stuff. I'm like, he's going to say, it's their fault. at every step of the way, I'm like, yeah, so it's their fault. We're
playing Jack Wright Bingo over here. That's okay, well, there you go.
But they have a legacy. Like I said, so like maybe these are more references that you might know. None of these you'll know.
You don't know.
You know Fall Out Boy though.
Yep.
So these are bands
from
that look up to.
We got a perfectly good Fall Out Boy right here.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. I know Fall Out Boy. Milhouse plays it in the movie.
If only you were, 1.7 inches tall.
Yeah. No, I have heard of the band Fall Out Boy.
AFI, Fall Out Boy, Between the Buried and Me, First Blood and H2O, all name Earth Crisis as a huge influence on their music.
Wow.
Yeah. So Andy Hurley, who is the drummer in Fall Out Boy, he was in bands that were sort of part of the associated movement that Earth Crisis were more or less the figureheads of. So Andy Hurley was in a band called Vegan Reich.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Dude. That's so cool.
Vegan Reich, baby.
Vegan Reich. This is what I'm talking about with the oxymorons. It's like, I don't know.
Vegan
Nazis is weird. Well, this is what I thought when I was listening to I'll call it music if you insist. But this is what I felt. I was listening to it. It reminds me of, you ever watch a movie and then like there's some skinheads turn up in a truck. And they're playing music, and you know they're bad news. You know they're bad news.
Yeah,
like the guys who like, you know, when like Dirk Diggler's on Hard Times and he's jerking off in front of that dude in the truck, and then guys come and they beat him up, and that's the kind of music that I associate with. So it's like if I don't know, I listened to the whole album, and the whole time I'm just thinking this is music I would use to convey the fact that these people are not good people.
Yeah, sure.
When it's playing out of their car.
Yeah.
That's how I engage.
It's really funny. It's funny that you say that because like the politics behind this band are like when you read interviews with them, like it's really like, you know, they're fostering animals. Like they're fostering animals from Fuzzy Little Bunny's special bunny rescue farm and stuff like that. They're doing fundraisers to save the bunnies and all this sort of stuff. And then they're like on stage just like unimaginable violence in the crowd.
Why can't they write songs about the bunnies? What are they?
It's weird because like, especially like this album, it's like obviously themes of straight edge, themes of like veganism, but also like what they call eco-defense. So, like, a lot of the lyrics are about, like, oh, we're living through an ecological apocalypse. And this is 30 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
30 years ago, we're, like, we're in a climate apocalypse. And today, we're, like, people are still, like, do you think we're in a climate apocalypse? Like, no one's done shit.
I don't
believe
it.
Between
I don't
95.
Believe it. It's all nonsense.
Drenched in sweat. Nah. Trying to do your little jokes. It's like...
It's all bullshit.
Everybody's
all...
saying this. You can't say anything anymore.
It's a lie cooked up by the hardcore metal scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's fine.
But it's interesting. Like, it's right. Like, people kind of... It's weirdly incongruous that you have this, like... Even to the point that you were saying where they're, like, sort of calling for, like, you know... It's called Destroy the Machines, you know, the album.
Well, this is...
They're an electronic band. Mm. There are bands, like, eco... I guess you'd say borderline eco-fascist bands where it's like, oh, humans are the virus, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
It's like a black metal band called Wolves in the Throne Room, which are like, yeah, like an eco-defense, like vegan black metal band, but they're all acoustic because they're like, we got to be off the grid. We got to live this life. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Destroying the machines. You're plugging in them with feedback. We can turn up the foldbacks on our album, Destroy the Machines.
It's
Okay, I will say this. And it's interesting because I didn't really know it. I couldn't make out any of the lyrics. One phrase I made out in the entire album, because it is just screaming noise. He's not a great vocalist. The only phrase I could make out in the lyrics was the phrase "Destroy the Machines" in the title track. Destroy the Machines, and that is because the album is called "Destroy." It was the only thing. Like I need, I needed subtitles.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It's just like I'm upset about something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a baby crying. It's just like, I don't know why he's crying.
He's got a real, like, I think that's part of what attracts people to it as well, like, musically. He's got such a dry, raw voice, which is, I guess, bad. Is it bad? It sounds bad.
Well,
like, compared to today where you have these, like, high production corporate metalcore bands who, like, have vocal coaches and, like, learn the correct way to scream, all this sort of stuff. And it's very, like, I guess you'd say calculated. Like, it's very, like, technical and it's like...
You think it's more manufactured?
Nowadays, I think it's just by virtue of time and the fact that it's its own genre.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas he's just getting up there and being like, I guess I got to scream. I guess I got to ruin my fucking vocal cords because I got to do this music. Well, and I think that's what attracts certain people to it.
Okay. Well, okay. So they're like the raw... Earthiness.
Rawness, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't really like hardcore or metal in general. Yeah. But I listened to it and I'm used to the vocals being kind of screamy and stuff. And I can't really tell the difference between vocal coached screamos.
Yeah, exactly.
Self-taught screamos. But like, at least with most of the metal stuff I've heard, even though I don't really enjoy it, I listen to the guitars and go, oh, that sounds quite proficient guitaring, shredding.
Yeah, so shredding. Using that word correctly,
shred. They shred.
Yeah.
And the drumming's very. And these guys I listen to, it's like, you can't. When did you learn this? It's terrible. It's just like, they stop and start, and it's it's bad. It's real bad. The whole thing is so
bad. It's pretty rudimentary, and that's something that actually comes up as well. And people are like, positive reviews will be, there is nothing more than what is needed. Here, every instrument is doing exactly what is needed to achieve, like, I guess, the manifesto of the record itself.
It's not being showy.
No.
It's like how some people like really early blues music, and it's kind of bad.
They did say that they wanted every single song to sound like
a car crash, because they nailed it.
They said hammer strikes. Just pounding.
Oh, you could tell that at the end of the album.
Oh, yeah. They literally have the hammer strikes.
Strikes.
But so basically, like, people like look back on this album, they say it is the essence of the metallic hardcore of the era.
Mm-hmm.
Here I'm quoting, it's before the words metallic and hardcore were elided and derided. So now it's either like, oh yeah, this is a metalcore band, they're so good, or it's like, yuck, that's a metalcore band. Like, it's got all these connotations to it, positive or negative.
Yeah.
When they started, they were just Earth Crisis.
So no one was doing that music before them?
Not like this. There were definitely like metallic influences. Like, I did an episode about a band called Inside Out, which was
I love that movie.
pre Rage Against the Machine.
Mm. When are Rage Against the Machine? Are they after this Earth Crisis?
No, they were concurrent.
Concurrent.
So like, that MTV generation was all like heavy band, like heavy music was in the mainstream now.
Okay.
After Nirvana.
Right. So they didn't even fucking invent it.
They didn't invent heavy music, but they invented this specific style.
Oh my God, bro. With the little subgenres.
This is the podcast. This is me justifying to you my...
Bro. What happened to one word?
They're all yelling.
they are all yelling.
I can't understand what he's saying.
Is that me? Trying to be me?
And it's my mum as well.
It's your me versus your mum. Me and mixed with your mum. Okay, so they didn't invent it, and they're bad at it. And... you can't understand what they want, and they want to talk about bunny rabbits, but all they can do is scream and be upset about veganism.
It's about the people killing the bunny rabbits. That's what they're angry about. Don't kill the bunny rabbits.
Don't kill the bunny rabbits.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go to a hardcore club in Syracuse, New York,
and beat.
And we're gonna tell other people that
people
look like
in the
us.
Pit.
Well, this is like, if you want to save the bunny rabbits, like, well, how is this is this?
They're all activists as well.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think that's maybe more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there's There is a quote from... Oh, yeah. So Peter Daniel Young, who's an animal activist in the 90s.
Mm.
He said that... So there was an increase of animal rights activism that corresponded with the rise of vegan straight edge bands in these scenes.
Right.
So direct action, kind of like going and rescue... like breaking and entering into these like testing facilities or puppy farms or whatever and rescuing animals.
And they all listen to Earth Crisis in the van on the way.
Yeah.
And then they roll down their balaclavas and we're going to save them. Okay, that's kind of rules.
And the activist, Peter Daniel Young, attributes that largely, or at least I guess I would, I mean, I don't like to deal in absolutes. And like, the quote is like, he attributes it to Destroy the Machines. I would maybe be more cautious and be like, maybe that started with Destroy the Machines.
Yeah, maybe.
And the fervor grew and like, obviously it snowballs, you know?
I think people who'd like bunny rabbits could listen to any kind of music. Yeah. Like, maybe some people are in the van with their headphones up, a bit of Boney M, bit of Daddy Cool before we rescue the rabbits. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, I feel like we're putting a lot on this Earth Crisis. But that's something. That's nice. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
But so Buchner, Carl Buchner, the vocalist. We've talked about all the themes. It's like, straight edge relates to self-destruction. Veganism relates to the destruction of animals. Overall, it's like the destruction of our world and our environment. These are all the themes lyrically.
Okay.
But they kind of like...
I miss your 12 English.
They did walk...
What other themes are there?
Yeah, like? Yeah. Let's talk about the
is
themes.
Is there any subtext? Can we do subtext? Is there foreshadowing?
But they're talking about like liberation, like not just animal liberation, but liberation of the self as well. That's like the link between the veganism and the straight edge. Like that's the philosophical link that they found.
My argument is that you can't tell that because they're so bad at singing. And I just heard Destroy the Machines.
That's what
at one point in 40 minutes, I heard Destroy the Machines several times in the middle of the title track. These guys are making some good points, it turns out. I can't understand a fucking word these cunts are saying, bro.
That's a good point, man. I don't know. Like obviously, because, again, philosophically, they'd be like, oh, this is the way the world should be. This is a fundamental belief on their part.
Sure.
And, like, everyone should think the way we think.
Well, that's basically nice. It's better than, you know.
But it's such a niche style of music that they can't get the Jack Wrights of the world because they're like, you're yelling at me. Like, you know, like.
Is that how I sound?
No, that's how my mum sounds, but you're talking like my mum.
All right. Yeah, well, they are yelling. It's called Screamo. They're absolutely yelling.
It's not called Screamo. Well, Screamo is something else entirely. We'll get to Screamo in a minute.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about Reversal of Man on this episode.
What happened to like one word genres? What happened to funk? What happened to soul?
Hey, you love funk though.
This is all just rock. You can't. It's so weird.
It is rock music.
It's like different types of penguin. No one cares. They're just penguins. Oh, these are the macaroni penguins. These are emperor penguins. And these guys are cool. And these guys are. It's just, I don't know.
This is one of the most, like, I think Earth Crisis, as far as hardcore goes, they have maybe one of the strongest barriers to entry. Like, this is a very alienating band to come in on.
Right.
Like, it is.
But
like,
they're not.
Like, you're not. Right. I don't think you're overreacting.
Okay. They are.
As someone who hasn't been involved in the culture whatsoever.
I would argue they're not accessible as a band.
Absolutely.
To
not.
Listen to. Right.
Not if you're not already into hardcore music.
But they.
Even for me, when I got into. Because I got in through like melodic punk, that sort of stuff. And then I started going to hardcore shows. Sure. I was like, not for me.
Oh, you didn't like. You don't like this?
Too tough. Too much tough. And I was straight edge.
Tough boy vegan.
I was vegan straight edge. Mm. But I think I got into vegan straight edge not necessarily through like the Earth Crisis's Earth Crises of the world, but more so through like Minor Threat and that rattier, skinny art school punk rather than the tough skater beating people down with their skateboard trucks. Hardcore guy.
These are Adelie penguins and these are...
Exactly.
I don't know.
Adelie penguins?
Yeah, that's a real type of penguin.
Oh, nice.
Named after a guy called Adelie.
But yeah, so like... yeah, so you have that... Yeah, sorry. The element of... the animal liberation stuff. But then I guess like... I think what... I know your point is like you can't engage with the politics because you can't actually understand what he is saying.
I mean, I could have Googled the lyrics. I don't
Fair enough.
But that's, it's not accessible. They're less niche than I thought because you're telling me that they're fairly well known.
Yeah. Well, people, like, reviews of it kind of described it as, like, it's Pantera. And Pantera are a big metal band and they were big in the 90s.
When all the continents were joined up.
No, that's Pangea.
Okay. are they a band?
Pantera is, Pangea is, I think it's Ben Eli's band from Regurgitator. He had a band called Pangea.
Called it. Sucked in, dude.
This is just an exercise in autism, this podcast now.
What's its real title?
The podcast?
Yeah.
Dead Ramones. I said that so many times at the start.
Dead Ramones. Yeah, I think Exercise and Autism would be... Good name for a
band. Exercise and Autism.
tough boy vegan band. Exercise and Autism.
People called it Pantera through a hardcore lens when this album came out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they were... When they recorded it, they recorded it in a thrash metal band studio, a band called Believer. Mm. And basically the guitarists were just really influenced by this thrash metal band. So that's like what you were saying before about the proficient guitar work and stuff like that.
Mm.
And so they were just kind of like inspired to practice more, become more technical, more metallic, I guess, in that sense.
Metallic
as a genre. Yeah.
So is that different
There's elements
metal?
Of that. Like,
is
like,
metal just short for metallic? Or you've got to turn around and tell me that these are two different things? Metallic is different to metal?
Well, metallic hardcore is metallic hardcore, and metal is metal. But it gets...
Fuck, bro.
No. I'm just trying to answer your question. But I was having this discussion with my friend. I can't remember if I said this on the previous episode, but like I had this discussion with my friend the other day on the phone.
Mm.
And Stevie Scott, this is your observation, not mine, but I agree with it.
Shout out to Stevie Scott.
After a certain point on the timeline, the main differences, at least musically, between culturally, there's heaps of differences, but musically, if just for like the Jack Wrights listening to two different bands, a metal band and a metalcore band, you're like, this is the same genre of music. But what sets them apart is what they're singing about. I think I did say this on a previous episode. It's like, so metal bands will sing about like demons and hell and aliens and like,
yeah,
but hardcore bands will talk about the streets. They'll talk about their upbringing. They'll talk about real observations.
How does that get to call itself a different genre?
Like, it's a culture. It's just the culture that led to
Abba it. Abba sing about, you know, getting married to each other.
Yeah.
And fucking Boney M sing about, you know, dead Russian
It's about mugs. It's about the scenes that...
They're still pop, right?
But like, they didn't start... These bands... I guess these bands didn't start... So the reason ABBA started was to sell records, to make money. They were commerce.
Yeah.
These bands didn't start for that reason.
Well, they started to win the Eurovision Song Contest for their country to represent Sweden and create a dynasty. We can talk about that if you want.
Oh,
I got to...
You want to talk about ABBA?
I want to talk about Sweden. Sweden are the Brazil of Eurovision Song Contest. They've won the most. They're the best. They produced... It's about nationalism, mate. It's about representing the Swedish nation and fucking putting one over on Denmark. That's what it's about. It's not about the fucking records,
mate.
It's not about the
country.
Money.
Oh,
how dare you? Wait till the Norwegians.
There's one big old IKEA up there.
We all live in an IKEA. Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense? Because like, they didn't start to make money. These bands just started because these were kids who wanted to express themselves.
Sure. Okay,
they're kids who, for lack of a better word, wanted to make art.
Yes.
They didn't want to sell records. They never thought they were going to sell records.
Okay. Well,
they just wanted to be a part of the scene.
Well, someone put them on
sale. Why do you do comedy? You don't do comedy.
I do it to sell records.
Yeah.
I do it to represent Sweden.
But like, obviously, it would be nice to make a good amount of money from doing comedy.
Yeah.
But that's not your primary reason for doing it.
No, I suppose not.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's lucky.
lucky for both of us, Jack. Don't worry about it.
Just trying to create art. Just trying to express myself. Yeah. I'm a young guy trying to express myself. I've
been reading the Bible.
Yeah. I don't even care that no one pays me to do comedy. I don't even care. It's not what I do it. It's not what I do it for. Yeah.
I would love to get paid, but honestly, I know you're joking. I'm going to keep doing it regardless, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then these guys, they got signed by Canterbury Bulldog Records.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they're out here and they fucking, you know, they still sold the albums, dude. They still took the money.
Yeah. You know? So I want to give you like a little rundown on like Vegan Straight Edge.
Please.
Because I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Okay. Vegan Straight Edge. So is that a subgenre of Straight Edge?
Yeah. Can it's like a different set of dudes. Because not all Straight Edge guys were vegan. But these guys...
Can you define straight edge for me? Can we start at the beginning?
Let me tell you.
Okay, fantastic.
Oh, yeah, no, let's start at the beginning. No, straight edge... No, that's a good point. So straight edge, like if you're looking at Minor Threat, they had the song called... they had the song called Out of Step, but then they also had a song called Straight Edge. Basically, it was don't drink, don't smoke, don't fuck.
Don't fuck.
But that extrapolated into like... no drugs.
Hang on.
No drugs, no alcohol, no...
No wonder these cunts are angry.
I guess you'd call it no... what do you call it? Promiscuous sex.
Okay.
But that is very open to interpretation. And being in the Brisbane hardcore scene, extremely open to interpret. Like, oh, it's not promiscuous.
Right.
But you can still treat women like shit for whatever reason. But like...
What? That's bad.
No, it is bad. I'm saying there's a lot of... Like the sexual philosophy of it is very open to interpretation by the dude. I think it's a lot harder to be like...
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke. But then the sex stuff is like so personal and so like I think a lot of people are kind of fooling themselves a little bit. But the idea idea of like no promiscuous sex, I think, is about just a mutual respect, like respect for yourself, mutual respect for sexual partners, all that sort of stuff, and like not just like fucking someone for the sake of it because you're lonely or whatever like that. That's how I would interpret.
Why does anyone? Okay.
No, but you asked like I don't know if I mean I can see value in that. But again, it is up to your own personal interpretation of what is healthy for you or not.
Do they beat up other people who do have promiscuous sex and use drugs? Is that the thing?
Some do. What? Yeah. Well, this like we're talking like if I'm talking Minor Threat, this is 83, so it's more than a decade before Earth Crisis kind of came to prominence.
Got it.
That's where Straight Edge kind of started. Mm-hmm. Went through the youth crew scene. in New York.
Sonic Youth Crew.
Which is really, again, just a subculture, but like based around straight edge, based around the music.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Youth crew bands, all that right. sort of stuff.
Okay.
And then we get to Earth Crisis.
Right.
And basically Earth Crisis formed as a response to these like youth crew bands that they looked up to, disbanding and the members breaking edge. So they start drinking or they start doing drugs, all that sort of stuff.
Wait, so these guys, wait. These guys do drink and do drugs.
These guys?
These guys.
No, I'm saying they formed as a response to the guys that they looked up to.
Right.
Not being straight edge anymore.
Okay, so
these guys that they
used to be straight edge, and they became not straight edge,
yeah.
And these guys that we're
these guys
are
like, well, fuck that.
We're going to be more straight edge.
We're going to be even more straight edge.
So we're not going to drink. We're not going to smoke. We're not going to fuck, and we're not going to eat honey.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a response. The veganism thing is separate to like straight edge is a larger movement, but these, I think what Earth Crisis found was a philosophical marriage between just like that element of liberation, self-liberation, animal liberation, liberation for everyone.
Hey, that's
so
nice.
Straight edge is about liberation of yourself, and that links in with liberation for other living things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are the violent ones?
Let me get into it.
Okay, sorry. That's later.
So another, I think another word or maybe a synonym. It is there again. Like you, I feel like I'm giving you a headache. There are slight differences
chinstrap
in terms
penguins.
Of. These
King
guys,
penguins.
These guys are chin strap penguins. They all
little
have like
penguins.
The little chin strap beard of the 90s, dude. Yeah.
Jintu penguins.
All right. So hardline is another word that was used for a certain sect. So we're getting to the sub now.
Ah, okay.
People, there was a thing called hardline, which was like the fascist. I think stream of vegan straight edge.
Okay.
And this is the style, or this is a culture championed by Vegan Reich, Andy Hurley.
Right.
They were hardline bands and they were militant. They were based on preserving the sanctity of all innocent life.
Right.
And this manifested in a number of central tenets.
Okay.
Or no, it should be tenets. Some left.
Do you write all that? I thought you were on Wikipedia.
No. I took quotes. I take quotes from a bunch of different interviews
an
and stuff. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I thought you were just on Wikipedia.
No, man.
You wrote all this?
I didn't write this. I took quotes from a bunch of different sources.
How long did this take you?
Like an hour this morning.
You did this morning?
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah, for you.
Oh, thanks, man.
I want to give you all the information. I knew you'd have questions.
Oh, now I feel bad.
All right. So
didn't realize you did a little project.
This isn't for you. This is for the listeners, dude.
Surely anyone listening to this pod already knows this.
Not necessarily. No, I think people like the details.
Okay.
Okay, so some of these central tenets are left-leaning, like animal liberation and deep ecology.
Yes.
So that activist, environmental activism side of things.
Cool.
But this is what I really find interesting, especially in a hardcore scene, like an underground scene, you would think like overly lefty kind of counterculture shit.
You would. And then the word Reich comes out.
We're
going to be called Veggie Reich.
But right-leaning philosophies like, because, okay, so veganism, anti-abortion.
Oh, you'd be vegan and anti-abortion. That's
protection of all innocent life.
Well, okay.
Don't kill innocent beings.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm with you on that. I am absolutely with you on that. But this was, and you can see the logic. I think it's flawed logic, but you can see the reasoning.
Right.
They're like, don't kill innocent creatures.
Okay.
So don't have abortions.
Well, yeah.
But also homophobia because they were against non-procreative sex.
Who the fuck are these cunts?
They took it to the next level. These hardline, this is a culture. This
so we
is
like
a real
bunny
thing.
Rabbits. We think conception begins at fucking conception.
Yeah, that sort of shit. Yeah, yeah. And
and you can't be
no
gay.
Homosexual sex. No, you don't. Not, I don't think it's that you can't be gay, but you can't have sex if you're gay.
Oh, man, like...
But that would
are
that
these
would,
guys like fun to hang out with?
No, this sounds this sounds like no. I no. do not. There was one guy in Brisbane,
Sticker Man.
And I don't
shout out to Sticker Man.
I truly don't believe he was this.
Yeah.
This fascist.
Well, it feels very American.
But he was this is extremely
very
American.
American.
But he would make stickers.
Yeah, cool.
Like stickers that were like bring back prohibition. We never had prohibition in Australia. Bring back prohibition, kill your local drug dealer, all these sorts of stickers, and you put them up around the place.
No. Yeah. Mitch is cool.
So
he's walking distance. You leave him alone. I love that guy.
So hardliners often engage in direct local action to achieve objectives. Some of that included breaking into animal testing lab to free animals. Some of it included violence against the non-adherents.
The not fuck off.
Yeah,
non-adherents.
Non-adherents, like jihad against anyone who wasn't hardline.
These guys are weird.
At shows or other locations. It was a little bit of a gang mentality.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can't, if I came down and tried to do meth at this thing, they wouldn't let me.
No, they would. They'd
be mad.
I mean, in the 90s, yeah.
Now it's fine.
Get a time machine if you want to get your head caved in by some hardcore kids. Get a time machine, go back to Syracuse.
That's what I mean. It's horrible.
This doesn't relate to Earth Crisis weren't anti-gay. They weren't anti-abortion.
Okay.
But a lot, they were very militant in the views that they did believe in.
Right.
And I think that's what alienated a lot of people. There was a lot of pushback because, I mean, essentially, they were standing up for what they believed in. And that's what he says in every single interview. He's like, that's what we've always done. We stand up for what we believe in. This is what we believe. Mm. These are our ideals. Even now, because they've had all these 20-year, 30-year anniversaries of this record, they're still doing it. They're still releasing records.
They're still alive?
They're still a vegan straight edge band.
Are they still big?
They're not as much of a sensation anymore, but people still love them. Okay. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Are they still trading off the hits? Do people go to they play Destroy Them, Destroy the Machines.
It's going
to
be the 30th.
Play Deliverance.
They re-recorded a bunch of, man, Deliverance is the best song.
Deliverance sucks. It's I looked down, it's hard, this is the worst. I looked down at my phone and it said that the song was called Deliverance. And I'm like, oh, I must be near the end. And then I look and it's like track 6 of 10. I'm like, you can't, don't toy with me like that. I thought I was nearly done.
Yeah, I don't know.
Deliverance can't be in the middle.
But this is what I find funny relating to what you're saying about, like, it's just so abrasive. I just can't get into it. Blah 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 blah. Because there's so much compassion behind what they're talking about, like the bunnies, the bunnies, right?
Yeah, bunnies.
And so there's this story. I don't know.
They're a big pest in Australia.
Yeah,
like
destroy the bunnies.
Like, do you care about the environment or do you want to
destroy the rabbits?
Let rabbits live. You know what I mean? You got to make a choice.
I used to be vegan. I used to be straight edge. I was never in an Earth Crisis, but I did. And I guess I didn't marry the two the way that they marry veganism and straight. I just was vegan and I was straight edge.
You can have too many bunnies.
You can have too many bunnies. And that's where I'm at now. Like I eat fish. I eat meat now, but it's just sort of like, I'll prefer to eat
promiscuous
native
sex.
I have so much I cheat on my fiance all the time. It's so good.
That's not funny, dude. That's not funny.
I thought we were doing the bit.
Are you doing a bit? You told me not to tell anyone.
I prefer to eat native animals like kangaroo and emu because it's like more ecologically friendly to farm them in Australia.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. Yep.
Stuff like that. Like it's not
numbat skewers.
Numbat skewers. Yeah. Bilbies. Whole bilby.
On a
deep fried bilby.
Deep fried bilby. Yep.
The penguins. Penguin wings.
I got more on penguins if you want.
You're not trying to write a bit on penguins right now.
No. This is what it's all these weird little.
That's what's in your little notebook. You're like, penguins. Try and bring up penguins so I can run this bit.
I got a bit about pigeons. I'm trying to link it in.
Yeah.
I want to do 40 minutes on bird.
Birds are easy. You know what's weird? Birds are very easy to write jokes about.
People love bird gear.
Dude.
This is what I know. Yeah. I love bird gear.
Everyone's got a bird bit.
Everyone does have a bird bit. Yeah.
Who had the magpie swooping bit?
Who didn't have the magpie sweeping bit? Fair. Everyone's got a magpie sweeping bit.
All right, let's get back to the topic at hand.
I got a great magpie sweeping bit.
Okay.
Sorry.
So this is the story. I don't really know how true this story is. Like, it feels like a bit of a fable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe I'll just read it as written. A single act of compassionate defiance can ripple into a tidal wave. Imagine, for example, a perfectly ordinary middle-aged woman paying a perfectly ordinary visit to her husband at the Chicago food processing plant that he manages.
That got really specific really quickly.
Yeah, I know. Imagine.
Imagine.
It's a specific. It is
a normal, ordinary woman. Every woman could be anywhere. And her husband works at the Chicago food processing plant. The fuck? All right.
Imagine her catching a glimpse. Imagine, Jack. Her catching a glimpse of the reality of abattoir, the suffering of cattle.
Yes.
Imagine, Jack.
Yes.
Her immediately becoming a vegetarian.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that makes sense.
Effectively renouncing the very meat industrial complex upon which subsistence relies.
Sure. Yeah.
Decades later, inspired by her bravery, that woman's grandson, one Carl Buechner, singer of Earth Crisis.
Ah, so I wasn't. I didn't have to imagine any of this.
Yeah, you didn't have to.
I was imagining. What does she look like in real life?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Probably looks exactly like Carl Buechner.
What is she wearing? What kind of clothes?
Yeah. Paint the picture for me.
Well, I was imagining a specific thing.
This is from Decibel Magazine, guys. Like, you guys got to do more with the creative writing.
Based
Sorry.
On a true story.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
Would you say grandson?
Yes, it was grandson. He's okay. Her grandson. So she influenced him to be a vegetarian ultimately vegan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she went to an abattoir in what, like the 20s? Is that what that...
If he was late teens in 89 when they started the band, what are we thinking? Like, say his parents were...
People used to have children younger back then as well.
Yeah, so if he was born... If he was born 1970... What are we thinking?
It's not really important.
I'm trying to do the maths.
Because it's a grandma, it threw me because it's further away. There wouldn't have been too many...
I reckon 30s or 40s, I reckon.
Yeah. There'd be less vegetarians in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I was intrigued. Yeah.
Would have been wild, yeah.
Yeah, she's a real trailblazer.
Yeah.
We should have done a podcast on her.
So, but they call it, like, you know, he joins a small cadre of deft, philosophically like-minded, trailblazing musicians. To launch not only one of the few true revolutionary countercultural mass movements of the last quarter... This is so wordy, Jesus Christ. Of the last quarter century, but also infuse these breathtakingly original genre-refracting songs with the same iconoclastic impulse, leaving extreme music forever changed in its wake.
Oh, that's a great job. You deserve to work for NME.
I didn't write that.
You didn't write that?
I copy and pasted it. That's what kind of puts me off it is like a little bit melodramatic. But what do you...
Music journalism is also one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. It is the way they try and like... You know what I mean? Like they try and...
As someone who used to be a music journalist...
I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
Definitely agree.
It's weird.
100%
agree. It's weird. That's why all these publications...
At least for underground music. Not for like your ABBAs and your Eurovisions and all that sort of stuff. But like for underground...
Eurovision's not a band.
Hey, it could be.
Okay, well,
we could start a band right
now. They release an album every year.
Yeah, yeah, the compilation or whatever.
Yeah.
Tattoo were Eurovision, weren't they?
I don't believe so.
All the things she said running through my head?
I don't believe so.
Oh, it's Eurovision.
No, they're softcore porn.
They are softcore porn.
I don't think they were. They'd be way too edgy for Russia. Russia's not going to put out Tattoo. Tattoo is just a track.
Yeah, fair. It was just
it's like the Cheeky Girls. Remember them?
Cheeky Girls?
They were like a novelty...
The Sugar Babes?
Not the Sugar Babes.
Was it Cat Dolls?
They had a novelty hit single. There were these two Eastern European women, and it was very big in Britain in 2002 or something. And it was like, we are the Cheeky Girls, touch my bum. Remember that?
No.
Cool.
Do you remember Prussian Blue? The Nazi girls?
Oh, no. I know the color. I
there was this little.
It's a good blue.
There were these two like 12-year-olds.
Oh.
Blonde twins, I think.
I think
they're called Prussian Blue.
Yeah, I think I heard of this.
They have music videos.
They're in
the
Louis Theroux thing.
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They grew up and they're you'll never believe it, not Nazis anymore, and they don't have a great relationship with their mother, which I think is fair
God
enough.
Forbid.
I think it's fair enough.
Very exploitative. What I wanted to ask you, why I brought that up, the genre refracting songs and
you're
they
not,
leave
you're not
left
gonna credit,
extreme music.
You should credit Fuse TV if you're going to use
that. No, that's down there. These quotes are from Decibel, everybody.
Decibel. Shout out to Decibel.
What does that make you, how does that make you feel as someone who's completely alienated by the music on this, to read,
I was intrigued by the grandma story.
But like, more about the music itself, like.
Yeah, look,
they're saying it's breathtakingly original.
Well, you're telling me Rise Against did something in fucking 1984. Not Rise Against, sorry, they played the MO last night. Who did you
say? Minor Threat.
Yeah, them. Whatever. They're all the same, bro. They're all penguins. They're all fucking penguins.
Yeah, it's a penguin.
They're all bullshit. It's all the same. Look, 100%. You know, some people, you know, they read a poem or they read a book or they see a movie and they think, oh, I'll change my ways and they can change the world and blah, blah, blah.
So you're willing to accept it?
Oh, fine. If Decibel says it, it must be true.
Yeah.
Good on you, Decibel.
But I think in 95, like you said, it is pretty rudimentary, but like think about it being 95 and like a record that is this extreme, not only in music, but the lyrical content.
Yes.
In 95, I'm saying. Yep. Yeah.
What's the album art is a reference to a book, right?
I don't know. I didn't find it.
Wasn't the guy, the Russian dude who invented the word robot? Isn't
Tolstoy?
He? No, not Tolstoy, bro.
Tolstoy came up in some of the quotes I was looking at because he was a vegetarian as well.
After Tolstoy, it's like Asimov, maybe.
Oh, Asimov,
maybe.
Really?
And then Anyway, I don't really know what I'm talking about. But the album art was definitely a reference.
It's very Soviet.
It's yeah.
It's super Soviet looking.
I think it's literally a reference to a book.
Yeah, okay.
Just didn't come up on Fuse TV.
No, I didn't find. I didn't find anything about that in terms of
Asimov might be a different dude. It's definitely not Tolstoy.
Yeah. So what I want to know is like, I feel like I'm going to repeat myself here. I've got a couple of quotes from Carl, but like...
Carl Barron?
No, Carl Buchner.
Dr. Carl.
Just talking about veganism, just talking about animals enduring violent, useless tests in laboratories. This is like just a guess about
100%.
His point of view.
Yep.
I like this though. Like, we also never viewed straight edge as simply being a personal choice, which is interesting. This is what set me apart from bands like this. Because for me, I was like...
You thought it was a personal choice.
It's just for me. It was for me. Well, like drinking wasn't right for me.
Yeah.
Doing drugs wasn't right for me. But these guys are like, this is what you asked earlier in the podcast, okay. Actually. It's like, okay. Drug and alcohol abuse affect society as a whole. And the fight against that needs to be seen as a serious one. That won't happen if you're only straight edge until your band breaks up or until your favorite band breaks up.
Yeah, Ryan. Little pescatarian now. Oh, I eat the fish. Oh.
I eat chicken. I eat emu, I eat kangaroo. Give me a break.
Well, yeah, but that's my argument. It's like your band broke up. Now look at you scoffing down on fucking native animals, just chewing on the coat of arms like a monster.
Jesus Christ.
What? I'm going to eat them because I can't.
You eat meat?
I eat meat, but I don't fucking go around fucking telling other people not to.
I never did either.
No, sure. Yeah, I'm not saying you did. Yeah. Yeah, but that's quite, I don't know about, I mean, you know. Industrial farming is pretty bad, but it's I don't like anyone who's like, you should think the things I think. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but also like, I think when you're trying to enact change in the world, like it makes sense, but also you're kind of digging your own hole in a way because like then there is just going to be this backlash where people are like, don't tell me what to think.
Yeah.
And like, we're not telling you what to think. We're telling you what would be better for the planet and for the human race.
Sure. Well... I'll tell you a thing I did while I was listening to the album, and what's the opposite of enjoying? I was not liking
tolerating.
It. I was
barely tolerating.
I hated this album. Yeah, I hated listening to it. It gave me like a headache. I can feel like a migraine starting. I see the fuzzy.
I feel
vision.
Like talking about it is giving you a headache as well.
Yeah, no, I get to tell them what I think.
Too many penguins. Yeah.
you send this to Carl. No, but this is what I did to try and make it useful to myself. I was hating this album so much that I chain smoked cigarettes for the entire album in an effort to sort of associate cigarettes with this album.
And you could quit?
In an effort to quit.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Earth Crisis is like living up to their legacy in a way.
Well, yeah, kind of.
They're helping you quit smoking.
But that's just for me. I'm not saying everyone should listen to Earth Crisis to quit cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's just for me.
I thought you were about to say, no, I'm not saying that everyone should quit cigarettes. I'm just saying, I don't think everyone should listen to Earth Crisis.
I mean, look, whatever works for them, dude. They can do whatever they want. But yeah, that's how I tried to make it useful for myself.
Yeah, it's interesting that, like, I guess you hated the sound of it. You don't have a huge problem with the politics of it, right?
No, not particularly, no.
But when you were young, like, what was, like, 23-year-old Jack doing?
Oh, man, you heard of the streets?
I have heard of the streets.
I like the streets. I like Outkast.
Oh, you mean the
Oh, is that what you? Oh, what was I doing?
Yeah, what were you doing with your life? Like, were you angry? Were you an angry young man? Was there stuff that you like believed in that you felt like we had to take a stand against man, society?
Me and my friends used to like we thought this was fun, driving cones. So we would go out in my friend's mother's Mazda, three or four of us, and we would punch cones while the car was driving, and then we would blow them out the window, which in hindsight is quite an obvious thing to do. It's very noticeable from the outside. And then we got pulled over several times. And then one time the cops like made us tip all the weed on the ground and then step on it, which is, they were my favorite cops because then they left and we just scooped it all up and had driving cones with gravel in it.
Jesus.
Yeah. So that was, that's what I was doing.
But you didn't have like any sort of like philosophy or anything like that you sort of...
Nah.
Nothing. There were no bands like Earth Crisis that were like, oh, I'm going to care about animal liberation. I'm going to care about like... Nothing like that. No. Didn't care about anything?
Don't care, bro.
When did you start doing comedy?
Oh, when I was like, I don't know. Well, first time I did it was I was 17.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
And is that kind of what you cared about? You just cared about
it? I mostly cared about doing drugs and smoking weed getting high and playing GTA.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah. I mean, but I like animals are cool.
Animals are cool.
Animals are cool. Except for fish. Fuck fish.
Yeah. Fuck fish. And fuck chickens as well. Fish of the land.
Well, yeah, but they get battery farms. I mean, fish get battery farms.
I guess so.
They're not the fish of the land. Are they the fish Chickens? Of the land? Chickens are the fish of the land. What's a good thing to eat? What's the most sustainable thing to farm? Oysters?
Oysters are pretty good. Mm. Oysters are good for the environment. Mm. Yeah, because they filter the water.
Do they?
Yeah.
Cool.
They're like a natural filtration system. Yeah, so an oyster farm is actually good for the water. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like oysters.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I mean, any sort of industrialized agriculture is bad. Like, even if it's vegetables and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
It's bad for the environment.
Well, yeah, chickens are getting fucked up pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah. That's a shame. I wouldn't like
I wouldn't like to be a chicken.
I'm not going to willfully just go to fucking KFC just whenever I feel like it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do that.
No, no. It's like, again, it's fine. That's the thing. Like, we're in our mid to late 30s.
But you get
now,
punished,
you know,
by KFC. You get the karma because you feel terrible after eating KFC.
Yeah, I get
you
that. But sick. I get that from Manoush when I get the vegan stuff from Manoush as well. Okay. Manoush's revenge the next
Manoush's
day
revenge.
Is no good.
100%.
I did want to tell you this little story because, we're talking about, the violence inherent in these sorts of, subcultures and stuff. So,
yes.
So, basically, there's a... We're going to talk about a different band for a moment. There's a band from Tampa, Florida.
Cool.
Called Reversal of Man.
I love all these. These names are so much fun.
Now, Reversal of Man were much more in the DIY scene. They're kind of what you would call... They're what you would call a screamo band.
Okay.
Sort of house shows, basement shows, very, very underground.
Yep.
But beloved. Literally. And they have a good legacy as well. But I would honestly, I listen to Reversal Man. I'm like, no, this is also metallic. This also has a metal influence in it. They're pretty hard, but they're just, again, they're just different dudes. Mm. So Earth Crisis were like muscly, let's do weights, let's blah, 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 be tough guys.
Tough guys.
Reversal Man were just the skinny Nebushi kids,
right?
Playing really aggressive music.
Yeah.
So just different dudes. Literally, that's it.
But I don't think that makes the genre different. It's like, this one's big and this
one's
little.
That's why it's interesting.
Okay, yeah.
So here's the story. This is from, I think, the singer of Reversal of Man. So basically what happened, and this is lore. This is hardcore lore. This is a story.
This is the lore of the
passed down. Yeah. And so this is, according to Reversal of Man, this is what happened. So yeah. Earth Crisis were touring. They're in Tampa, Florida.
Yep.
The guys from Reversal of Man go to the show. Mm-hmm. But they all go to the show dressed as the Village People.
That's fun.
Pretty fun.
That's fun.
Pretty fun.
That's fun.
But
you couldn't do the Indian anymore.
No.
That's frowned upon. Allowed. You couldn't do
the cop anymore because people would be like,
well,
hey,
yeah.
Cops aren't cool, brother.
Yeah, cops aren't cool. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to a concert dressed as a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be... People would... Yeah, it would be weird.
But regardless, so Earth Crisis did not think it was funny.
Mm.
And so they, obviously, it's all crews, it's all gangs. They had their South Florida minions, he says, come after us. So it was a bunch of tough guys against a bunch of skinny nerds.
Dressed as the Village People. Very difficult to blend into the crowd.
What are you, and he's like, makes sense, right? Like, what are you trying to prove here? Like, you guys have visible muscles. We weigh 90 pounds and we came dressed as the Village People. Like,
yeah,
you can beat us up.
Yeah, that's what I'm. That's my argument. That's they're losers.
So they tried to go after them, but this guy said, all they got was the guy was wearing an Afro wig. He was like the boogie guy or whatever. And wasn't there a black guy who had an Afro?
I can't remember.
I don't know. Got the Afro wig.
I'd want to be the construction worker because he's got a helmet.
Yes,
that'd be great. If we're all getting beaten up, I want the helmet costume.
So this is all before the show. So he steals the Afro wig. That's it. Earth Crisis begins setting up. They're not even playing a set yet.
Okay.
And they ask the venue to turn out all the lights. And then one of the other guys is like, are you turning off the lights so you can fight us in the dark?
Who turned off the lights? The tough ones or the little ones?
The band, Earth Crisis, setting up on stage, and they ask the venue to put out the lights.
So that all their South Florida minions, who in my head are dressed as the minions.
Yeah. They came dressed as Village People.
We're the minions.
Earth Crisis came dressed as minions.
We're going to have a fight. We're going to have a fight.
It's banana.
Hey, they're vegan. They love bananas.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So they tell them to turn the lights off. But
so they can beat up the Village People.
That's all that happened. They just turned the lights off. But then one of these skinny dudes was like, he heckles them. He's like, oh, so you can fight us in the dark.
Mm.
That's what sparked the actual brawl.
There's a brawl.
Yeah, so there's this big brawl. So instantly everyone's fist fighting and basically Carl,
how was this helping the bunny rabbits? You know,
good point.
Keep going.
So Carl from Earth Crisis, singer of Earth Crisis, he jumps up on the merch table.
We're not in it for the money. Here's our merch table.
He spots this guy, from Reversal of Man in the crowd. And he's like, so wigs come off. So you can see his hair. He's like, get the kid with the sideburns.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just like vegetarian great-grandma would have wanted.
Yeah. Get the kid with the sideburns.
Get the little kid with the sideburns. What a dog.
And so then basically the drummer from WrestleMania, different guy, he falls under the merch table. He's in the brawl, falls under the merch table. Everything comes crashing down, including Carl standing on top of the merch table.
Ooh.
And that's how they...
Dangerous.
And that's how they get out, basically. They just run away.
Isn't one of them trapped under the merch table?
I guess in the scuffle he gets out.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Now they're going to sell his Afro wig at the merch table.
So this is a relevant story because Reversal of Men then wrote a song called Get the Kid with the Sideburns.
Right.
About this kind of militancy, about this faction.
So they're doing diss tracks now.
They're doing diss tracks.
I love this.
They're doing diss tracks.
I'm more of a hip hop guy, so I'm on board for these diss tracks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then Carl will get asked about this story and he'll be like, I don't think, you know, we were kids. I don't want to be defined by something that happened in my early 20s, blah, 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 blah.
But he doesn't say, no, I didn't, he says.
He doesn't say, no, he's like, who's like, who cares? Like, why are we going to try and like capitalize on this story that reflects poorly on everyone?
Well, mostly on him.
Mostly on him. Like, on him.
Why would we reflect on story? It reflects poorly on
us. I love the lack of humor as well. Like the lack of self kind of.
That's what I don't like about metal music. It doesn't seem very self-effacing or like humorous. It's very serious men.
Yeah.
Mostly men. I guess some women.
A lot of men.
A lot of angry dudes.
Yeah.
And a lot of very serious. I don't like these guys. The more I learn about, I like the grandma. The grandma's cool.
Grandma's cool.
And then the more I learn about this Carl and the already didn't
it's
like
a hard
music,
sell, man. It's a
very
hard sell. Yeah.
It's a very hard sell.
Yeah. I'm not, like I said, I was never a big fan of the band. I would say I'm a
what
fan.
What country are they in now?
They're America.
These tough.
I think they've stayed in Syracuse, I'm pretty sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just wondering.
I'm a fan of songs. Like I think they've got a lot of good songs, but like, you know, as an album, I'm not like, this is a great album. It's like, I like Deliverance.
Anyone who starts fights can go fuck themselves, dude.
It's interesting because like a lot of the bands that came from, especially out of the New York scene, were kind of like band like Gorilla Biscuits.
I thought you were going to say Gorillas.
I'd fight them. We did an episode on.
I'd fight gorillas. Wait, no, is it gorillas?
But they wrote songs about like stop fighting, like we're just here to make music and have fun. Who said that? Gorilla Biscuits. This is 6 years earlier.
But they have a funny name. See?
They do have a funny name.
Funny people don't want to fight.
Yeah,
it's better. It's better for society.
Yeah, it's just weird, like the backlash against like all their idols or like their role models in the scene. Breaking Edge, starting drinking, all that sort of stuff, and then being like, no, well, we're going to go even harder. We're going to double down on this.
Yeah.
And they lose this sense of humor. They lose this sense of fun.
Mm.
But they have this legacy of like musical style and like artistic expression that kind of withstands test of time, I guess. It's weird. Despite them being such alienating spokespeople.
Well, I mean, I hated the music.
Yeah.
And then I learned slightly more about the politics. Oh, that's quite interesting. Yeah. And that's interesting about the group.
But it is borderline fascist. I wouldn't call them fascist, but like the way they espouse these ideas is so militant and so like, well, don't tell me what to think. That's scary. Like it is scary to take a step in that direction. Because like what happens next is fascism next.
Fighting anyone smaller than you just sucks.
So silly.
It just sucks.
Fighting anyone sucks.
Of course. But especially like you've got all your little minions in their little overalls and they're all, I don't know, just, yeah, that I found that really off-putting, that story. And for him to be like, man, I don't want to be defined by what I did.
Neither
does fucking Ted Bundy, but what, you know, fuck him.
You did it. You're still getting the
lethal injection, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What a journey we've gone on.
Yeah. That's the end of the story.
That's the end of the story?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's the end of the story of Earth Crisis and this album.
Well, it leaves a real bad taste in my mouth for them as people. And I didn't like them as musicians.
I haven't brought you around to Earth Crisis.
Oh, well, it was kind of like I hated them. And then I thought, oh, maybe they're okay, maybe not. And now I hate them again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not really an arc. It's more of a circle.
It's weird. It's weird because I'm just thinking about myself, like being straight edge, being vegan. Mm. And then like not really being a fan of Earth Crisis. I'm trying to think now, like, were there straight edge vegan band or vegan straight edge bands that I was into? And I can't think of any.
That you were into.
That I was like a fan of in terms of like the message.
You used to be vegan.
I used to be vegan. I used to be straight edge.
So you liked that about the message?
No, but I'm saying like the band, so Earth Crisis are this band that like if you're vegan straight edge, you like this band. I didn't.
Right.
And there's no counterpart to
that. Why'd you make me listen to it? I don't even like it.
Because it's a landmark album in the history.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I had straight edge bands I really liked, and then I had vegan bands I really liked, but never the twain shall meet kind of thing. Like I was really off put by the fundamentalism of bands like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
The aggressiveness. The military.
No, no. I liked aggressive music. I really liked aggressive music. But I didn't like
the thoughts.
The thought policing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's
and stealing people's wigs.
Stealing, don't steal a wig.
Never steal a wig. That's so rude to steal a wig.
It is pretty. It's like taking someone's hat.
It's like that. Yeah. It's rude.
Yeah, it's
and just
rude.
Getting, you know, sicking your fans on someone is very, I hate
it's
that.
It's wild, yeah.
And then
yeah.
being like, I don't want to talk about that.
And
so
the other thing is like, this wasn't said in the story, but my understanding is like these kids, like these little nerds, were fans of Earth Crisis.
I'm saying.
They went to the show to see the band.
They bought a ticket.
Yeah.
They were trying to, they went up to the merch table and then you know, you jumped them.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of hate it.
Yeah. So that's 95, Destroy the Machines, Earth Crisis. And for anyone listening who's like, why didn't you do Dead Guy Fixation on a Coworker? Good question. But I think this is more of a...
Oh, were there two? There were two albums for
I would say Dead Guy, another band. And right. they really defined a different stream of metallic hardcore.
Fuck
like a more
sake.
Chaotic noisecore kind of.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Cool. Like a lot of bands kind of followed in the footsteps of what Dead Guy did. But
okay.
I think in terms of hardcore... in terms of like the umbrella, I think this album stands as like more of a icon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that the end of your Word document?
I'm done. I'm
You're
done.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
you have write a reply. We can just wrap
All
it
right.
up, buddy.
Okay. Write a reply. What have I got here?
He's getting his notes.
I've
out.
Got here. All right. It's okay. You got the Southern Rockhopper Penguin. You got the Macaroni Penguin. You've got the Magellanic Penguin. The Erect Crested Penguin. You got the Royal Penguin. You got the Galapagos Penguin. You got the African Penguin. You got the Snares Penguin. You got the Northern Rockhopper Penguin, which is separate to the Southern Rockhopper Penguin, as we discussed earlier. We've got the Humboldt Penguin.
It is a really good analogy, to
be
honest.
There's 47 of them.
The Southern Rockhopper and Northern Rockhopper, that really drives home the direction.
That's what I'm talking about. You got the Fjordland Penguin. You got the Yellow-Eyed Penguin. You got the Australian Little Penguin, which is different to the Little Penguin, and it used to be called the Fairy Penguin. They changed it. You got the leopard
yeah,
seal.
Well, fairy,
leopard seal is not one.
I think.
Leopard, why is leopard seal on this list? why would you put that in there? That's crazy.
Seal you isn't got, a penguin.
You, man, these are getting like harder to say now. Some of them are like, you got the Eudyptes Warhammy, and there's a photo of a penguin next to it. You got the Waitaha Penguin. I'm not. You got the Aptinotes Regendi. You got the. These are just like the Latin names, I think. You got the Wide Flippered Penguin. You got Simpson's Penguin. You got fucking. These are all Latin. 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 It's got leopard seals twice.
We have done the time, Jack. We don't have to fill any time.
Right.
If you're worried.
Show less. show less.
Please show less.
Anyway, all right. Those are all the penguins that I know. And thank you for having me. This was
of course.
Very fun.
Of course. Thank you for listening to me.
No, it was great.
Yeah. Awesome. Adelaide Fringe.
Yeah.
She's Like the Wind. Jack Wright. Jackwright.comedy.
Jack.Wright.comedy.
Oh, man.
Let's see if we can get up to 400 followers.
He's really active on there, folks. With
Let's
his broken
see.
iPhone.
Let's see if we can break those
Coke
the 300
iPhone.
Mark.
I love that, actually. I just remember something. You're telling me to get on Kogan. You had such a fucking ordeal with your Kogan iPhone that you got.
Right,
they literally sold you a broken phone.
They sold me a broken phone.
Jack had to go to the Apple store and they were like, I can't believe they sold you this. This is very illegal. Like that's what they told you at the Apple store.
Don't get on Kogan.
Don't go
on Kogan. I spent $929 on this. I had to get the battery replaced and the charging port replaced. And anyway, it was Kogan suck.
So he really needs to sell some tickets is what we're saying, guys. So if you're in Adelaide, go see him. If you're in Sydney, come to Rat Club.
Yeah, Rat Club every Monday.
Yeah,
Monday.
That's our little baby.
7:30 every Monday.
We're going.
It's a great show.
We're going fucking psycho with this. It's going to be good. Last night was really fun.
It was really fun.
Did a full, like almost a full reading of a Glengarry Glen Ross scene with an audience member.
It was fantastic.
My throat's still sore from the, put the coffee down.
Coffee is for closers.
Coffee's
and
for closers.
And that was fun. Also, I don't know when this pod's coming out, but it's not necessarily last night. But
but
it was a great show.
Who cares?
Every Monday, 7:30, Rat Club Industries.
Rat Club, baby.
Come on down, baby.
Mosh Pit in Erskineville. And yeah, that's everything, guys. Dead Ramones on Instagram. Email us if you've got complaints. Complaints department is open. Email, DM, whatever you want. DeadRamonesPodcast@gmail.com.
Put it in the comments.
Put it in the comments. I thrive on conflict.
That's how the algorithm works,
scene,
baby.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks,
really
man.
Appreciate it, man.
That was fun.